Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umep. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine, while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. And now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umep, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Hi there, and good morning. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine, hour number two. We're here in the studio. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Samira Umep and Dr. Jerry Mixon, taking your phone calls today. And our phone lines are, we are open for you. 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770. And if you call now, we can get your question on very soon. Right now, we are talking with Josette. Josette, where are you calling from? Good morning.
Idaho, where it's 15 degrees and beautiful sunny skies.
Wow. Whoa. Okay.
I love it.
This morning as I was out on the trail, it was so foggy.
I know, it was foggy. When I was driving into work, it was like, oh, what is this?
Yes, yes.
It was cold, too.
Mm. Yes, but Josette's bringing us sunshine. Yes.
That's right. You guys have sunshine.
Yeah,
and
I don't miss the fog.
Yeah.
Well, how can we help you today, Josette? What's going on?
Okay. I have a member in the family that got a ruptured appendix, was in the hospital for a week with a drainage tube in all that time, mass inflammation. Mm-hmm. He's been put on, of course, a lot of antibiotics. Yep. And they didn't remove the appendix because they couldn't even find it. Now, this guy's really overweight. Well, my question is to you, if you're leaving that ruptured appendix in there, is that something that can cause infection later on down the line? I mean, I don't know.
Okay. Well, the question is, they can't do anything about it right now because he's too sick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's visit a little bit about appendicitis and ruptured appendices, et cetera. the appendix... The word appendix actually means the addition. Mm-hmm. It's a little additional piece of bowel. In our ancestors was probably deeply involved in immune response for killing organisms and stuff from our scavenger ways. You know, we human beings are pretty deficient in both tooth and claw. Mm-hmm. We are not real good at chasing down our prey and, you know, killing it with our teeth or our fangs. And so our ancestors, long before refrigeration and preservation, they ate a lot of stuff that would probably kill us. But the appendix was involved in helping protect them. Mm. That appendix now is just a little blind pouch almost. It's usually a couple of inches long, 2-3 inches long, sitting down right at the very base of the cecum, right where the small bowel comes in to the large bowel. It is prone to getting stuff caught in it and getting infections. And that's what we refer to as appendicitis. If you rupture the appendix, it means that appendix has gotten infected. It's basically obstructed. It can't drain into the colon. And so it kind of balloons up and blows a big hole in it. Now you got a hole in your bowel dumping feces from your bowel free into your belly, into your abdominal cavity. And that is a life-threatening situation. Used to be before aggressive antibiotics and good anesthesia, people died of ruptured appendix on a regular basis. It was a relatively common cause of death in young people. If he's really fat, that makes the surgery so much more difficult, because you don't just put fat on your belly, you put fat in your belly. And the organs, the internal organs that the poor surgeon is working with, are sheathed in fat, in grease, that just make them slick and hard. You can't see anything, and everything you touch wants to bleed. And you've got a guy who's got, you know, stool getting dumped into his belly. He's got this sepsis, this raging infection, and everything is swollen and discolored.
Yeah,
I do not envy that surgeon. He had one hell of a job to face. If he can't find the appendix in that mess that's in that belly, his job as the surgeon was to try to find at least the stump, the place on the cecum where the appendix originated, and tie off the defect, to oversew and put two or three layers on that and stop the stuff coming from the bowel into the belly. Okay, so hopefully he did that. If he got that done, and if the rest of the appendix has basically been isolated, it will atrophy, wither up, be reabsorbed, scarred down, sealed off. You know, the body, assuming the fellow lives from the infection, will compensate. And he'll end up with a big wad of scar tissue in there.
Well, the doctor said that he couldn't find the appendix when he was in there doing everything that he needed to do. So that doesn't sound good.
No, that doesn't sound good. And I would really love to chat with him and find out exactly what he meant by that statement. But two things to always remember when we're getting second and third hand medical reports, okay? What the doctor says and what the patient hears are not always the same thing. And the doctor may be a bit unclear in his communication to start with, which then the patient gets even further amiss. And then they refer that to you, and you refer that to me, and we're kind of playing a game of telephone here. I have had patients sit in my office and tell me, Dr. So-and-so told me this, that, and the other, and I know Dr. So-and-so, and I know he's not an idiot, and I know he wouldn't say that. But the patient, the patient firmly believes it, because that's what they heard, no matter what the doctor said. And it sometimes scares me what patients might tell other doctors that I said that I would never do. We got to give each other a little slack in this world and recognize that we human beings are fallible creatures. We are doomed by our mortality to error. And that includes our communications with one another, especially when we're sick and feel rotten.
Yes.
Sure.
So, yes.
Yeah.
All we can do is hope that,
if I understand the situation clearly, then it wasn't able to remove it or do this, which you said, seal it off, then I would imagine he'd keep a close eye on him and have him come in periodically and keep checking his vitals for inflammation and whatnot, I suppose.
Yes. Well, and that drain, as long as it's draining, will be left in. And you may even need to reposition the drain, and you may even need to go back in after things have calmed down a bit with the antibiotics and the drain. I mean, it's not out of the question that a second procedure might be necessary. So, you know, all we can do is you hope that despite his weight, his underlying immune system is in decent shape, and that he's on the appropriate antibiotics, and that he takes them faithfully, you know, and that we get him past this. But with ruptured appendix, there's never a guarantee.
That's scary.
Well, thank you very much for answering the question.
All right, take care, dear.
You're very welcome,
Joseph. And I miss you guys. I miss not having my lab reviews up there in Washington, but I do come up once a year, so...
Okay.
Wonderful.
Well, you keep that up, and you know you can do the video calls with your doctor, so you can see their smiling face.
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, I will tap it. Dr. Zero about that.
Yes, Dr. Okay. Kazura can sign on to either an encrypted Zoom or a Teams meeting, and you can see each other and chat and smile, and I think it's much better than just a phone visit.
There you go.
All yes. right. Take care, dear.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Josette, for calling.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We have room for your phone call and your question as well at 800-465-8770. Right now, headed to beautiful Issaquah, where we have Barbara on the line. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning. My situation is that I have lower back pain so that I can't walk or stand for up to 10 minutes without it becoming excruciating pain.
Oh, dear.
And I've been to several orthopedic doctors and to no result other than they've tried shots, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And I think the situation is that, and I hope I've got this right, I had surgery at L5 and they put in a Kevlar U-shaped thing to hold the disc open, and they cleaned out a bunch of bones first and stuff like that. After that surgery, I felt fine until I started getting arthritis in the disc above and below.
Oh,
and a recent MRI indicated, you know, that those discs are degenerative. I've been told that the only thing I can do is take Tylenol for the pain, and Tylenol doesn't work for me. Mm. And and the reason for that is, excuse me, that I am diabetic and I am at, I keep borderline between stage 2 and stage 3 kidney disease. So they don't want me to take anything like a leave. Mm-hmm. So I've heard about Relief Factor, and I've heard such wonderful things about it. So I asked my endocrinologist, and this is what she said. I typically recommend to avoid herbal supplements like this, as they have not been well studied for potential side effects, as well as the benefit has not been well established either. It does seem like the options are limited, though.
All right.
You know, and she would favor me going back to the orthopedist. But the orthopedist last said to me that if his lumbar shots didn't work, he didn't know what else to do. So
okay.
My question to you is, has there been studies on the Relief Factor regarding their benefits or their side effects?
Okay. Yes, no, and to some extent. And let me explain that. When I was developing Relief Factor, you know, I did this in response actually to a chiropractor who was a patient, who came to me and said, "Jerry, can you come up with something that will help decrease musculoskeletal pain?" And he said, "You know, if you do, I'll carry it in my office and I'll use it on my patients, because, you know, he does lots and lots of back pain, hip pain, shoulder pain, yada yada." So I went in the literature. I found about 20 things that were botanicals that had pretty good evidence that they decreased systemic inflammation and localized inflammation in damaged joints. The question was which of the 20 to use. I narrowed it down to 4 things. And the 4 things were omega-3s, icarin, resveratrol, and turmeric. And all 4 of those do have good peer-reviewed literature saying that each of them can decrease pain, decrease inflammation, and make people feel better. In fact, some of them, like the resveratrol, were even tried in surgical patients, in which they would give them a dose of the resveratrol and then discovered that they needed less than half as much post-operative pain medicine. Mm. The anesthesiologists were able to give them less medicine afterwards because the resveratrol decreased the inflammation. Mm. I then had to say, okay, which of these four do I want to use? Because they all work by four different metabolic pathways. So what I finally decided to do was to use them all. Mm. I put all four in there together in the same doses that were found in the studies, so that if one didn't work, the next one had a good chance. And if neither of those two worked, the third one might. And if that one didn't work, the fourth might. So we're approaching the problem by four different directions. And that gives us a much better chance that at least one of those four compounds will give you some relief. Okay. So to answer to your question, have we run studies on those four compounds all mixed together in relief factor? And the answer is no. But each of the products within Relief Factor have been studied repeatedly with good results. Mm-hmm. So the answer is yes, each individual compound has. This particular mixture of the compound, I've never put out $250,000 to run a study.
There you go. And how many patients, how many people, just ballpark, do you think?
About 140,000 a month.
There you go. That are using it and saying, you know what, this is helping me. And you can add myself to that list.
That's right.
And my 91-year-old mom.
But it's not a miracle, and it doesn't work for everybody. We go back to my thing, nothing to tour by human beings is perfect. And that includes the stuff I invent.
And and also maybe a plug in for Dr. Dan Nelson at this time.
Absolutely. Yes.
I would certainly consider seeing him.
Yeah. Yes. Keep listening, young lady, because I want to make a comment about a referral I'd like you to make. But we have to do it right after the break because the music is playing and we got to go.
Okay. So, Barbara, you stay right there. We'll be back with more Leading Edge Medicine in just a moment. Stay right there.
We decided we needed something to make us feel younger and healthier. I didn't want to do it by myself. I knew that Larry had to come with me.
Since I've become a longevity patient, I just feel wonderful now. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Longevity is a miracle for us.
As we stroll along together, holding hands, walking all alone, so in love are we two that we don't know what to do, so in love,
in the world our own. And welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Hi there, I'm Lynette Morgan, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat, and we were talking to Barbara about Relief Factor and also wanted to give her a referral to our wonderful doctor,
two things.
Pro Ortho.
I commented that it might work, it might not. It sounds like her problem is significant, and this is for milder. So, but even if it helps, that's good.
That's big, yes.
But we'd point out, you know, 70% of the people that buy one packet buy more.
Well,
but that means 30% don't.
Right.
And for 30% of the people, they didn't get any help.
Okay. But then the other thing was also that, you know, she's in a bind. She can only use Tylenol. It's not doing it. It's not helping. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else for her to try.
There's nothing else her orthopedist
is able to give her. Yeah.
And that's why I'd like to have Dan Nelson take a look at her.
Yeah.
Dan is a pain specialist. He started his career as an anesthesiologist, putting people to sleep. He then took the first pain fellowship that was ever done. I don't remember if it was USC or UCLA, one of the Southern
California. I don't remember, Jerry.
But so he's been doing pain medicine for years and years and years and years. And I know he does a lot of people that have had failed back procedures, that have had surgeries for their back that have not given him relief, and that's almost his subspecialty. He does that, and he does a fair bit of stem cell work. And so
we've had him on our show several times.
So I would love to see what Dr. Nelson says about our situation, because he's pretty inventive. He might come up with something that would at least give her pain relief, even if it didn't solve the underlying physiology.
Yeah, Barbara, it's worth it. Yeah. Can I give you Dr. Dan Nelson's number?
I have it. I saw And he was the one that said he didn't have any other solution.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
This sounds to me like, you know, as long as your nephrologist doesn't think that the ingredients of Relief Factor would do any harm to your kidneys.
Right.
Because you do have kidney disease, and that, you know, I want to make sure that your nephrologist okays it from that standpoint.
Sure.
I'd say if the nephrologist is okay with saying it, they don't think it's going to harm you, I'd go ahead and give it a try. And I'd start with, you know, 3 packets a day. That's my general rule, 3 a day till the pain goes away. And if you take 3 a day for 2 or 3 weeks and you're not seeing any improvement, then you're probably not going to. Mm. But it's a cheap thing to try.
I read to you what she said, which
yes.
to me implies don't take it. But mm-hmm. Have you heard of anybody having increased kidney disease from it?
No, I haven't. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Okay.
And that's why I would like to have the nephrologist, you know, say, is your concern that we don't think it'll help? Or is your concern that I know this will do something bad to your kidneys? If she can say it's going to hurt your kidneys, then for God's sake, don't take it. Mm-hmm. You know, but you don't seem to have a lot of other choices.
Yeah. Well, she says, that's not been studied for potential side effects as well as benefits has not been established
right.
either.
Yes.
He's saying, don't take
yes,
it. But
that's
I'm,
right. The nephrologist clearly disagrees.
Yeah.
And you know, I think we all get that. But my point is, each of the components have been studied repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And they are in the list of things and they are on the list of things that the federal government considers to be innocuous enough to sell over the counter without any restrictions. So that's, you know, that's the good news. The only thing that hasn't been studied is putting the 4 together. Mm-hmm. And for that, we don't have good data, except hundreds of thousands of people that take it every day that love it.
Yes. I hope that's helpful Barbara.
I'm inclined to try to take it and watch my kidneys and hope for the best.
You know, there are times in life when we don't have all good choices. You know, we have shades of gray. I'm afraid that's where you are. We've got shades of gray. Yeah. You kind of got to pick your favorite shade.
Trust some things, yeah.
Well, I've told my doctors before, put up and shut up. And, of course, nobody likes to hear that, but that's, I think, where I am. Yep. But I think I'll try the Relief Factor and see what happens.
Okay,
well, Barbara. We
good
wish
luck,
you the
my
best.
Dear. I hope Thank it you. Helps.
Absolutely. Right. We wish you the very best.
Bye-bye, dear.
Phone lines are open. We're taking your calls, and you can get right in if you call right now, 800-465-8770. That's 800-465-8770 with your question, your concern, maybe some new symptoms or medication that you're not sure of. We'd love to talk with you and see if we can get some answers for you.
You know, it's always hard when people are caught in such a bind.
Yes.
Struggle with what is the right
decision.
Because, I mean, clearly she's asking, tell me what to do. And we're saying, we just don't know.
We don't know. Yeah. You know? I mean, this is something she can try.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And our best advocate, Dr. Dan Nelson,
has already weighed in.
Yeah.
And if Dan doesn't know, I certainly don't.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So. All right. Let's go to the island now, Whidbey Island, and Susan on the line for us. Hi there, Susan. Thank you for your patience.
Hey, Susan.
Yes, well, thank you for helping the universe get me in to talk to you. Yes, the universe knows how to reach me to teach me. So now I'm in this free college, and this is my joke. It's not really free. How I'm getting out of it, how I'm paying for it is by my attention. So the radio is a great way.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Susan.
One of the previous male gentleman callers was talking about a younger person about herpes in the ears. Well, this connected with someone related to me explaining a situation that she was diagnosed with herpes. The doctor told her this is the worst case. My daughter explained her story. She said, Mom, I haven't done all these things. What's going on? So it hit my mind, okay, COVID and the vaccines are doing anything and everything to people's bodies. So maybe. I was, of course, understanding all this real quickly in my mind because I'm affected by the COVID. I will not inject anything into my body because I was born with a cavernous, supposedly a benign cavernous hemangioma deep within the left hemisphere of my brain.
Oh, dear.
So I didn't know about that until 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. So all these different situations are going on. So I just want it known that the younger people, there's ones that are awake, aware, and alert and know what to pay attention to, but others still aren't. So your programs like this is such an open window to help both sides.
Well, thank you.
So when I see her today, I'm going to explain to her, because her doctor, if you don't mind me sharing, told her this is the worst case I've ever seen. So that doesn't make her feel very good.
No.
So my one of my roles and goals, I may not reach it. I'm going to be 69 this year. That trying to be a good listener and then just passing the information along, because I'm not a doctor. You guys are. And you've spent all the years for studying all this. I don't have the type of style for study in this lifetime, but the next lifetime. So I just wanted to be able to get online, share the information, share it with the great doctors, so others that are listening would be able to help spread the word. So one more quick joke. LLC, because I was listening to financial programs today.
Uh-huh.
Life, love, and courage.
Ooh, an LLC.
Ooh. Nice.
Yes, yes. Since I have several LLCs, including longevity medicine.
Yeah.
All right.
That works.
So, life, love, and courage.
I did the Linwood Clinic in past years, so this has been many, 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 many years. So, I'm still connected. I'm still going. I'm still growing. And yes, I wake up. I make sure I'm awake, particularly in the mornings and specifically on the weekends at this time frame around 6 o'clock, because I know when to turn on the radio. I know that I'm going to get satisfaction out of listening to the great teachers.
Well, thank you, ma'am, for being a listener for us and for calling in.
Yes.
We have got other people waiting, so we got to keep on moving.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, ma'am. I do appreciate it.
You definitely encouraged us today. Thank you, Susan, for your call. All right, we're going to go to a break, but we have room for you on the phone at 800-465-8770. That number again to get through with your question live on the radio today at Leading Edge Medicine is 800-465-8770. Quick break here and back with Sarah in just a moment. Stay right there.
We should talk.
I think if visualize your final 10, 20 years of life, you know, what would it be worth to you to feel great all that time and probably live longer? I know you don't really claim that, but have a higher quality of life in your final 10 or 20 years, what would that be worth? Either you have the exact result you want or a good reason not to. So drop the reason I'm too busy. You're going to absolutely love it.
Must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you.
And welcome back. It's Leading Edge Medicine.
You did that really well, Lynette.
Shabab, 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 shabab.
Yeah.
Shabab, shababs. I'm Lynette, Dr. Samira Umat in the studio, Dr. Jerry Mixon, too. Dr. Mixon, you had a few comments on our last caller.
Well, you know, herpes simplex is a viral infection.
Mm-hmm. And she was talking about herpes in the ear.
Yeah. And we don't usually see it in the ear, although it's certainly positive. It's a virus that typically grows in mucous membrane.
Okay.
And that's because the mucous membrane is very thin, it's fragile, the virus can penetrate easily. It doesn't usually get into thicker skin. Although I have rarely seen it on fingertips, and that's mostly because somebody either had it on their lips or the vagina, and they were scratching at it, and they you know, inoculated themselves enough that it ended up on their fingertips.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, the ear would be an unusual place, but on the other hand, that skin is very, very thin, very fragile, and if you had it on your fingertips and you were digging at your ear and you abrade that thin skin enough to let the virus get in, you could indeed get, you know, quite an infection.
Okay.
And usually with herpes, the first infection is the worst. But it tends to be a recurrent infection. And that's why people who get cold sores, every time they get sunburn, every time they get trauma, every time they eat an acidy food, anytime they're under physiological or emotional stress, they get outbreaks. Same thing with the vaginal herpes. It's trauma, stress, anxiety, and it comes over and over and over. You know, so if they got a big infection in their ear and this was their first infection, okay. Doctors need to be careful about what they say in a patient's exam room. However, that's the worst case I've ever seen has got to really get somebody, not quite as bad as a doctor taking one look and saying, "Oh my God," but you know, you're there to reassure and to help and to keep things calm.
Anyway.
Well, we're going to head to the phones in just a moment. We've got some more callers. But
you know,
Dr. Umat, we had something.
Along that same line, you know, we were at a talk this week, some of the doctors from the clinic, the speaker was an oncologist. Hmm. And she was talking about the cancer screening test for early detection
for
cancer.
Test.
Oh, that we're doing.
But, you know,
next
she
week.
Said what you just said. She said, whenever I see a new patient, I always start by saying, "I'm so sorry you're here to see me." She's an oncologist.
Yes.
And so, you know, it immediately tells you she's not only sympathetic, she's caring, and she's saying, "Hey, I'm sorry this happened to you. Let's see what I can do to help you fix it today."
Yes.
But it was a very nice talk. It was actually one of the best that I have attended through this for this topic, which is early detection of cancer. And the Galleri test is a brand new test. It was first available in 2021, and we started carrying it last year. It took us a few weeks to kind of implement the systems, and so we've been offering it to longevity patients for a while now. All longevity patients can come in and have it drawn. They can ask their doctors, or the doctors can bring it up during a conversation. It's a screening test, and what we do is draw your blood. It's to detect early 50 different types of cancers early. And the point being that if you pick it up early, you can do something to help the patient, and then, you know, the conversation with the oncologist is not, okay, how can I make you comfortable? It's how can I cure you?
Right.
And that is the big difference. So early detection of any cancer is very important. And we have never done this before, but for the first time this year on January 28th, mm-hmm. which is next Saturday morning, Longevity will be offering this test to any listener who's not a patient.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is you can come in. There's a cost to the test. It's $1,250 to take the test, and we will draw the blood for you. And you will fill out a health questionnaire, and our doctors will call you back and let you know whether you have a positive or a negative test result and what that means. And it is an opportunity for you to then ask questions about what Longevity offers and what we can do. In case there is something we can help you with, we would love for you to come alongside of us and give us the opportunity to take care of you. So for the first time ever, Longevity will offer blood draw in our clinic in Kirkland from 9 to 12 for anybody over 50 who is wondering whether they have a cancer or not. are keen to know if there's an early test to detect it. It is a blood test, and it's just a quick 10, 15-minute visit.
It checks for 50 different cancers.
Wow, 50, 5-0.
50 different cancers it'll screen for, which is really, really remarkable.
I mean, there's no other test out there that'll do that.
No.
Currently, we draw blood for one cancer screening at a time, like prostate cancer. And then for other screenings, we do
imaging, like the
mammograms and MRIs or colonoscopies and so on and so forth. So there is no real blood test to detect cancer early.
Except this one.
And 50 different cancers. What they do is they're looking for genetic markers that are in the bloodstream. And then based on the result, they predict whether you have a likelihood of having a certain type of cancer. Mm-hmm. Very, very new technology, very innovative technology, and a very important screen.
And the first time I heard $1,250, I kind of cringed until I realized that's only $25 per cancer.
Yeah. Oh, wow. For peace of mind. And insurances are not covering that, but we are doing this for you.
They're not covering it now. Mm-hmm. You know, a year, another, who knows, 2-5 years, they'll probably be covering it. But, you know, if you don't want to wait 5 years.
Right.
And I don't.
I mean, especially for people who are worried, have a family history, or have personally had a cancer in the past, then and you want to know today, where are you? Then, yes, this is the test for you.
Absolutely. And we still have some slots available
for
next
week. We have a few. But let me elaborate on that a bit. We brought in a phlebotomist, one person who to draw blood, and we filled that person's slot up.
Yes.
So we brought in a second phlebotomist, and we pretty well filled that one up. We can squeeze in 5 more people. That's it.
Okay. That's it.
That's it. We don't even have room to bring in more phlebotomists. So we've got 5 slots that we can still fill, and that'll fill it up. We're getting questions down in Tacoma because this blood draw is only up in Kirkland Clinic right now. We know that we are getting some interest. People calling saying, "When are you going to do it in Tacoma?" I'll give you an assurance: we will do it in Tacoma. I'm not sure when yet. Probably within the next month or 6 weeks would be my guess.
Okay.
But right now, if you're down in that Tacoma, Gig Harbor sort of area, go ahead and call.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your connect. Something just happened.
Yes.
We now have an echo.
There we go. The tie line echo. Give us a call and let us know if you are interested in going to Tacoma eventually, and we will contact you.
Yeah, we'll put you on the list, and as soon as we have a firm date, we'll call you back and get your first dibs.
Yes, and the number to call if you're going, okay, I want to be one of those 5, call right now at our Kirkland Clinic. That number is 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. All right. We're going to go ahead and take a phone call if we can get rid of the echo. We still have the echo. We're going to go to Whidbey Island and talk with Ron. Hi, Ron. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Ron. Okay, you had a question for us. We are dealing with an echo, so. Oh, there it goes. Okay.
Okay.
So, welcome to the show.
Are you okay?
We are fine.
Yes.
Tell us what you need.
Okay, I'm 84 years old, 5'8", and I feel I'm maybe 20 pounds overweight, away around 180 pounds.
Uh-huh.
Back in the 90s, I had a heart attack. I do have a stent. They've checked it, and everything seems to be okay there.
Good.
My question is, with this heart condition, I had the first 2 shots of Pfizer for the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, should I follow up with the following shots, or is my heart in danger because I hear about all this heart stuff going on?
Has he had COVID? Have you had COVID?
No,
sir?
I've never had COVID.
You haven't?
No.
Not that he's aware of.
No, okay.
Yeah. You know, and part of the problem with this current version of COVID is that in some people it's so mild they don't know they've had it.
Exactly.
You know, I caught it, but the only way I knew I had it was I had a slight runny nose. That was my disease.
Yeah, and I've had that.
So I was on I've had two vaccines, and I took the first booster, and then in April I was on a road trip with my family, and I got a runny nose, and I thought, well, maybe I'm getting early COVID. Maybe this, I better check it. So I stopped at a drugstore, and I got a COVID test kit, and it was instantly positive. And I looked at the kit and said, well, this damn thing was made in China. I don't trust it. So I went to the drug, I went to a different drugstore and bought a different kit. This one made sure it was made in America. It was also instantly positive. So I said, rats. I've now had two tests from two different kits from two different countries, and they're both positive. I guess I got it. But I didn't get sick. My entire illness was 3 days of a runny nose. Okay. So
it didn't slow him down.
No, not at all.
And the fascinating thing is, you know, I was on a car trip with my wife and daughter. We're in this enclosed place, breathing the same air in a enclosed car for a week, and neither of them ever turned positive. So I must not have been shedding much virus.
That's right. And their immune systems are robust.
That's right. So, you know, I don't know for sure. None of us know for sure if we've been infected in the past. Mm-hmm. You know, just because this Omicron can be so mild. Here's where I am with the vaccine. Right now, even though Mr. Biden has extended the emergency again, nationally, deaths and hospitalizations are very, very low. It's not like it was a year ago. Last winter this time, we had 10 times as many people hospitalized. It's a very, very modest bump. It is almost all either very obese people or people with suppressed immune systems like cancer victims and so on, or the very elderly. Mm. Okay. Now, you're a bit older than me. I'm 75. I am not taking that bivalent vaccine unless I see evidence that a more potent version, a more deadly version of the virus is coming around again. Mm. But the one we've got now is so darn mild, and I'm lean. I'm relatively healthy. My age is the only thing that puts me in a risk group. And I have serious doubts that I would have major problems if I were to catch it at this point. Now, if a different variant comes out that is killing folks in my age group off, I'll go get the vaccine. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think the risks, the potential risk from the vaccines are higher than my risk from the virus. So personally, I'm making the decision that my two vaccinations and my booster is all I'm going to mess with for the moment. I'm just going to watch what's happening with the virus.
Mm-hmm. How does that sound,
thank
Ron?
Thank you. That sounds good. That is good advice. I think I'm going to follow the kind of in that line. Thank
all right.
you.
Very good.
You're welcome,
thank
sir.
You for your call, Ron.
Okay. Take care.
And thank
all right.
you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. We have time enough for maybe two more calls. 800-465-8770 is the number to call. That's 800-465-8770 to be part of our Leading Edge Medicine program today. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Lois next.
We'd just like to encourage your audience who hasn't to take a look at it. I honestly, you say 10 to 15 years on your advertisements. I think I feel better than I felt 30 years ago.
Many a tear has to fall, but it's all in the game. All in the wonderful game.
This is Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Smiling big because the doctor is always lots of energy here and smiling. And, you know, they love the show. And we love it when you call in and are part of Leading Edge Medicine. Every Saturday morning, we are here live in the studio with doctors Dr. Jerry Mixon, Dr. Samira Umat.
Well, Jerry has a way of making it interesting. I mean, you know, what you need to tell your French neighbors, Dr. Mixon, is that they are not going to the right places.
That's right.
That's right. I asked him how his luncheon was with new neighbors from France last weekend.
Yeah, we had some new friends that we had just met, a couple from France.
Yes.
And very thick French accents. So we have to listen carefully to understand one another. But we were talking about, you know, newly in America, what do you think of the country? What are your pluses and minuses? And her big upset was that nobody kisses. He said, you know, in France, if you go to a dinner party, you meet new people, you kiss them on the cheek and everybody is exchanging kisses. And she said, the question isn't, you're not shaking hands, you're not waving or bumping elbows. You kiss.
No high five.
And the question is it two kisses or four kisses is the question. How many is enough kisses?
Yeah. Well, I think the place enough. I was last night, you know, there were no inhibitions and the woman,
I got more hugs from staff last night. That's right.
Aww. No, and also, you know, the after party. But
yes, I didn't go to the after party. I went home.
I went to the after party, but yeah, there were no inhibitions at the after party where I went. Whether you knew people or not, there were lots of kisses going around.
All right. So here's the question. Did you kiss your new neighbors as they left your home?
We gave them the little cheek kisses.
Okay, very good. All right.
And so Bandine is going off today with, she's introducing her to all of her Chinese friends. So this will be a French-Chinese-American
immersion
experience.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That'll
so right fun. After the show, I rush off to my daughter's fencing tournament. My little 10-year-old is fencing. And, you know, I got some new equipment. I fenced in college.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been working with her at home, giving her piano lessons in the morning and fencing lessons in the mid-afternoon.
I want to see you do strike a pose, Dr. Mixon.
Strike a pose?
Yeah, strike one of those fencing poses. Oh, very nice.
And now,
you can see that.
Everybody wants to see that.
I know. We might have to take a picture of him with his fencing gear.
But yes, and so she's fencing. And then since my wife is going to be off with her new French and Chinese cohorts as a ladies' afternoon and evening out, they're going out for the afternoon and dinner tonight. Yeah, I do a daddy-daughter
afternoon
and evening. That's right. So I'll be taking her out to lunch. We'll probably go to the gym together, do a little workout, that sort of thing.
Very nice.
Very good. All right. Well, we have another caller here in West Seattle. Lois is on the line. Welcome, Lois.
Hello, Lois.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm hoping that lady with the back problem is still listening. I had the exact same problem that she has, and I've been suffering for almost 20 years. And I've had two major spinal fusions, and I've been on oxycodone for years.
Oh, dear.
It's about 5 milligrams. It's the lowest. But that's the only thing that gives me any kind of relief. But it doesn't last long. But the thing is that as to reason why they made that medication is specifically for older people. I'm 80 years old. Mm-hmm. For older people who's dealing with major pain, chronic pain. And that's what they made it for. And I know that lately everybody been downing it, but it is the only thing that the doctors can do to help me. And I've been through the shots, and I've seen Dr. Nelson several times. He was going to do a procedure called vertical
Vertiflex.
Vertiflex, yeah. And then, but insurance, Medicare didn't cover it.
Mm-hmm.
So it would just be too much money out of my, you know, I couldn't afford it.
Yes.
So, and then they took it away. They wouldn't, they made him stop doing that. So that was another problem. But anyway, I'm in pain management. And the doctor told me that I got five cramps in my back. Okay. And he said that even now they cannot even give me a shot because of the growth that has occurred around the pins. And he says that most of my pain is coming from the pins, and there's nothing they can do. But anyway, I just wanted her to talk to her doctor about getting on a low dose of opiate.
The oxycodone. Let's talk about oxycodone for just a minute, okay? Oxycodone is a narcotic, and hence it is addictive, but it gives good pain relief for many people.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, and, you know, the big fear, of course, is that you'll somehow get addicted to the drug. But quite frankly, I just listening to your voice and knowing you're in your 80s and that you have chronic pain and you have difficulty getting around, I don't think you're going to be knocking over convenience stores to get your oxycodone, you know? So, so even if you got addicted, no. I don't give a damn. I mean, the idea is keep you out of pain.
Yes, yes.
All right?
Yes.
You know, there's a big difference in you and the 20-year-old on the street who's taking it to get high.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so, yes, there comes a point in life, there comes a point in situation where your choices are not simple, yes and no. Your choices are, what other choices do I have? And you take the best choice available to you. And yes, there is risk of addiction, but once more, if you had to take an extra 2 pills a day, the world would not end, and society would survive. You would be no threat to anybody. So, you know.
Yeah. And you'd be out of pain and enjoying a bit of life.
Yes.
I mean, like anything else, right, Jerry? Yes. It's using the analogy where benefit versus risk. What is the benefit to this patient versus the risk to this patient? And when you measure that carefully.
My situation is so bad that I can't even stand up and do dishes or fix a meal without excruciating pain.
And that's what Barbara mentioned earlier.
I'm wearing a back brace. And the fact is I don't have family. I have no one to help me. I got to get to the grocery store, you know, and I got to get to the pharmacy. So you do. I don't care about the addiction part. I'm 80.
Precisely.
Going on 81 years old.
Yes. You're using it for what it was meant.
Yes.
Used for.
And so in your situation and in the other lady's situation, you're right. It's probably a perfectly reasonable intervention.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only thing that would prevent a doctor from writing it for you is they're afraid of the board.
Yeah.
Mm. They're afraid of putting their license in jeopardy. Yeah. And that isn't, and that's sad because a doctor should be free to do what the patient needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my doctor who writes this prescription for me complains about that all the time. He's scared to death that they're going to come down on him.
Let me tell you a little story. Back in my country doctor days, I had a elderly patient. She was 85, 87 years old. Her diffuse arthritis was so severe, she was wheelchair bound, and she was totally miserable. And I sent her over to a friend of mine, an internist who did a lot of pain work, and he put her on narcotics. And she got comfortable enough that she actually had some joy in her life for the first time in years.
Wow.
And so months went by and she was using her medication and she had a dramatic improvement in her quality of life. And somebody complained, and the board took a look at, and her chart was one that they looked at. And he got sanctioned and got in trouble. Almost lost his license and put in hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees because he used a narcotic to help an old crippled lady be out of pain. And, you know, thank God it was him who wrote the prescriptions instead of me. But the reality is, doctors are afraid because the board doesn't have to be right.
The government needs to do something about that.
That's right.
Yes.
They have power.
Yeah, they have power.
Yes.
They can have rules that they can't write for young people. You
maybe.
Know, I mean,
but even sometimes young people need it.
Yeah. That's right.
But my, well, yeah, I take the. I'd
and
take,
look at the time, Dr. Mixon. We've got 30 seconds left of the show.
I take the opposite of point. I say get the government out of it and let the doctor make the decision.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Vote for the doctor. Lois, thank you for your call. Thank you so much.
Okay,
and Barbara, I hope.
Here.
Yeah, I hope Barbara was listening and got some information. That's our show for today. We are back live in the studio next week. If you are wanting to sign up for that gallery test for screening the cancers, you may call our number today. We only had 5 slots left. 866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG. You have a great rest of your weekend. We'll be back next week.